Today on Playing for a Change, we're going to discuss the aversion to talking about play. That four-letter word scares so many. Let me tell you what people say when they ask me, "What do you do for a living?" And I say, "I use play as a catalyst for change and disrupting the status quo." And they say, "Oh, that's so cute, like kindergartens and stuff. Oh, that's so awesome. It sounds really cool. What's your other job?" But you should know that I also work with adults in business and education and healthcare and fields that are very, very serious. And this is what I know and what I hear. According to the World Health Organization, every 40 seconds, someone loses their life to suicide. Calls to emergency counseling services on university college campuses has doubled. And according to research, teacher burnout is actually an international epidemic. All of the information and research that I use on the podcast can be found in the show notes. And you will see that it suggests that we have a world in serious deficit of inclusion, collaboration, negotiation, humanity, connection, innovation, and creative thought, and loneliness. The statistics on mental health and illness are ever increasing, and we have generations of children who lack resilience and persistence and determination in pushing through difficult and complex problem solving. But it's not the hardships that cause this tragedy. It's our lack of experience with overcoming and moving through hardship that often causes this barrier to success and potential. Research findings suggest a creativity crisis as a push for academic success outweighs the drive for innovative, original, and yes, risky, vulnerable ideas that might be wrong, but at least they are a chance to try something new. And I could go on and on, but I want to go backwards for a minute to this moment. So my mom says, "Go outside and play, but don't get wet." And this happens. Spring runoff in Canada means rivers of water running down our streets. And as the snow and ice melts, one of my favorite things to do as a kid was to try and control the stream and figure out how to make it flow all the way down to the end of my block. So I would take a stick and I would start to break up the ice so that the water would flow. I would use the bottom of my foot and break through the ice, of course, soaking my feet and my boots to the skin. And then two or three other kids from my block would come down and they would bring their sticks and ice picks and other things they weren't supposed to bring, like dad's hammer, mom's rolling pin, pie plates and boxes. And together, we would build. We would figure out how to make it so that these rivers flowed in beautiful patterns. And then someone else would come, and they would bring something to stop the river at their house. This could include things they weren't supposed to bring for the river, like their scarf and mittens, jackets, and school books. And in a matter of hours, we would have a complex system of rivers running through boxes and over snow shovels and rakes and mom's favorite Tupperware. And we would be soaked and frozen to the point where we couldn't feel our hands and feet, but we did not come inside. We would argue about the way to do things and negotiated our way through it, but no adult stepped in as we had relatively dangerous tools in our hands by today's standards. And every once in a while, the water would stop flowing because we had put too many things in place or dammed it in too many spaces Or it had found some underground river to take and we couldn't find it. And then we had to work together to see where we could make it flow again. And that by the time we were done, 10 kids had figured out how to change the flow of melting ice and create the perfect damming system using kitchen utensils, sticks, and the occasional school book. So let's see. If the world is running short on humanity and resilience, connection and innovation, maybe we need to go back to a place where we felt powerful enough to risk getting in trouble for a central goal, or feeling uncomfortable but determined to stay. Or by seeing the potential of people and things around us, not as they are labeled, but as the strength that they bring to that moment. Yes, that scarf was intended to keep us warm, but it also made an incredible sponge for the water we intended to direct. And maybe we need to go back to the honesty of those discussions and negotiations. Maybe we have stepped in too often to save and to navigate. Is it possible that play is actually the answer to some of our greatest, most complex social challenges, and that our fear of it comes out of what it has become in our mind? Purposeless and silly, boundless, undirected, volatile, risky, unfiltered, unedited. When we protect people from feeling and falling, we protect them out of their own self-care and coping, and we limit the potential for ideas that can create change and transformation. When we take that away from people, we take away the joy of finding out the hard way, how to navigate, how to fall down, how to pick ourselves back up, what we love to do and don't like to do, and where our greatest strengths lie, and how we navigate survival in circumstances that can change very quickly. Adversity creates flexibility, and that flexibility fosters an innovative drive and spirit that we need to reignite. These are just my thoughts from the playground today, but consider when you were younger and played unstructured, unfiltered. What were the skills that we worry are missing from today that you learned in those days? Come on in. This playground is for everyone.